afternoon. You are listening to Dawnland Signals on WERU-FM. Dawnland Signals is a monthly talk show where we hold space for critical conversations of truth, healing, and change here in the Dawnland. We explore topics such as restorative justice, restorative practices, decolonization, cultural revival, and more. Our guests are people involved in aspects of truth, healing, and change work. This program is offered in an effort to share, inspire, and inform. Dawnland Signals is a collaboration of Wabanaki Reach and WERU-FM. I am your co-host, Nick Baer.
And I'm your co-host, Nolan Altvater. Today we are joined by Jennifer Gallipo and Wombly Martinez to talk about the Wabanaki Youth in Science program, known by their acronym WAYS, and their ancestral trail crew. Jen is from the Penobscot Nation, is the current director of Wabanaki Youth in Science, and Wombly is Ogla Lakota in Mescalero Apache, and was one of the ancestral trail crew leaders for WAYS. I myself and a lot of my close friends were either WAYS interns or involved in programming in some way, so I'm really excited for this conversation to take place with both of you here on Dawnland Signals. But before I invite y'all to introduce yourself, I want to ask Nick here to lead us in a land appreciation. Take it away, Nita.
Wait one. Wabanaki lands and its peoples are looking good this evening or summer. Our tree leaves have a bright green glow to them, and every flower is bursting with color and aroma. Even on the warmer days, when air conditioner is the only reprieve from muggy, heavy air, being outdoors in nature still feels good. Hearing the steady waves lap against the shores, or catching a soft breeze pushing branches around and shaking loose what is no longer needed. I think about these little processes our plant relatives go through. Seeing how they shed the unnecessary, but still bloom, reminds me of our practices. How easy it is to get caught up in the everyday work hustle. We forget to rest sometimes. It is absolutely needed in order to be the best versions of ourselves. It is unnatural to push ourselves so hard that we suffer from it. Let us be more like our friendly plant organisms and pray that someone keeps us hydrated every now and then. I am still learning how to cultivate and garden on our land. Most folks who I've spoken to about this work are still learning too. I have been graced with many teachers who have shown me some of their ways. Plus, my wife is a thoughtful plant queen who has so much determination and patience for this work. I am grateful for the helpful lessons I have been shown and also the tough ones, having been humbled year after year now with the ultimate rule that Mother Nature will have the final say in it all. Whether it is a critter eating the buds off from a beautiful flower or heavy winds ripping at not fully developed stems, the easiest thing to remember is you are not in control. No matter how much you plan or prepare, nature will always have the advantage. I hope all of our gardening listeners that just dabble or are seasoned vets get to enjoy this time of year. It is a gorgeous season, and we are all working on lands that remember what to do with just the right push. Keep pushing, y'all, and I hope you remember to rest in the shade for a bit, too. Please take time to listen to the birds, smell the flowers, put your guatecito in the mud or on the grass. These gestures are small enough to practice daily. I challenge everyone listening to this to take 5 minutes today and then again tomorrow to try it out. Open up to Mother Earth and listen to what she has to say. Open up your palms to Grandfather Sun and Grandmother Moon. Let yourself receive these blessings each and every day and give thanks for being here. The present is a gift. Let us be proud of where our seeds were planted and the roots that connect us to our past relations and their knowledge systems. Let us be a support for all people and living things. We have a responsibility to provide spaces for voices of decolonization.
Only one, Nick. It's always great to have that reminder to slow down in the heat of the summer. So I really appreciate that.
Cool.
Okay. All right. So Jennifer, I want to start our conversation off with you to kind of just approach a general understanding of what Waze is and the work that you all do. So do you mind sort of feeling free to introduce yourself and then sharing a bit about what Waze is and the relationship they have with Wabanaki communities?
Absolutely. Willy One, Nick and Nolan for inviting me and Wombly here to share the work that we do. And Nick, that's a really great reminder, your land acknowledgement. I need to slow down, rest. I don't take that time to rest like I should. But yeah, that's a good reminder for all of us. So Nujiao, Benawubsgig, Ndluwisi, Jennifer Galipo, Penobscot. My name is Jennifer Galipo. My grandfather's Arthur Neptune Jr., my grandmother's Susan Sokobe from Sabayic. I am the first Wabanaki director of WAIS, the WAIS program, Wabanaki Youth in Science. I've been in this role for just over a year now, and it's been a whirlwind of an adventure. I've never worked so hard in my life, but it's been the most rewarding work. WAIS provides Wabanaki youth with opportunities to connect with culture, with community, with the land, indigenous ways of knowing through school programmings, camp, internships, our trail crew, and much more. We're very passionate about supporting youth leadership, strengthening relationships across indigenous communities, and ensuring future generations remain connected to their homelands. Our Ways Ancestral Lands Trail Crew leads much of this work, and I'm really excited that we get to talk about what we're doing.
Yeah, and I'm just so excited that you came into this position. I feel like when it comes to this type of work for Wabanaki communities, it really needs to be us that are leading it. And I was just super excited when, yeah, you stepped into this role, and it's been such a great experience watching it grow since you've come into the responsibility. So much props to you, and thank you for framing everything up. Wombly, I want to pitch it over to you. Sort of dive deeper into what the Ancestral Lands Trail Crew is that Jen talked about, and about the work that you all do out there throughout our homelands. And feel free to introduce yourself how you see fit.
Good day, good day. Hey, honey, I'm Petuashte. I'm actually happy one B. Hello. It is awesome to be on this talk show with you guys. I appreciate you having time to talk about our trail crew a little bit. I started working with Waze in about 2017, I believe it was. I got an internship. And at that point, trail crew had not been created. I believe it was created in 2020. And I joined Trail Crew in 2021 just as a regular crew member, just transitioned from my internship into Trail Crew. And now this is my, fifth, sixth season with them. And I love it entirely. It's been awesome getting to travel around, working with amazing people and partners. That's always what I love to do. It's awesome to be out in the woods too.
Yeah, and what have you guys been up to recently in terms of work? Like where have you been in these last few weeks? And yeah, what type of trail maintenance are you doing?
Yeah, so we've had a very, very packed summer. And we start out every year having our orientation in Nibizen, which is awesome to do it in the community. And then after that, we're just shooting out to a bunch of different communities. We worked in Holton on a trail system that we cut out last year. We did some tread work there, just defining the trail that we cut out. And then after that, we bounced around, and we ended up going down to the Trail Skills College that they offer in Gorham, New Hampshire, to help the guys build skills or work on anything that they want to learn. And then after that, we get into just the meat and potatoes of our trail season, where we go around to I think we went off to Maine Coast Heritage to work with them along the coast. I know the guys love to work on the coast, so we worked with them, and then we went to Acadia and did some awesome projects with them. We did a lot of hauls for them, just hauling materials for other crews. We also built a bog walk there. I know all the crew loves building bog walks. It's a very rewarding work. And then the most recent project that I was a part of was with the Land Peace Foundation in Monroe. We were cutting in a new trail for them on to an existing trail that we had built previous years. So it's awesome to see more trail systems being connected to work that we've already done.
Yeah, that's really great to hear. It's kind of like, being a resource for not only just like so-called conservation communities in what is now Maine, like non-native conservation communities, but also providing like trail work and care for Wabanaki organizations as we return to our homelands and return into our original responsibilities to be in relationships of care. With our land. And it's just so great to see. I mean, it sounds like a lot of traveling, but it's just so great to see you guys, on all of these different places and connecting to our homelands. And Jen, I kind of want to transition to like other work that Ways does, not only within what is now Maine here, but also with our relationships that you've been able to make throughout the Northeast. I'm particularly thinking of the Forest Knowledge Internship Program and the relationships with the Haudenosaunee communities. Do you want to share a little bit more about what that is and what the work y'all are doing?
So that's one of my favorite projects, the Restoring Tribal Relations and Forest Knowledge. This is a 2-year project that we've collaborated with Akwesasne, St. Regis Mohawk Tribe in New York, also the Haudenosaunee Environmental Task Force, which is a great collaboration between all the nations, six nations, to deal with environmental issues and how they work together. I really value that framework that they have there, and I could vision something similar here in Wabanaki territory. So those relationships that we are establishing with groups like Jessica Respita, we have Angelo Johnson, Dave Arquette, Neil Patterson, really amazing folks leading work for Haudenosaunee. We hosted them last week in Greenville. We had a 5-day Earth Camp where we had interns participate. It was beautiful. We spent like 12 hours each day learning. I was like, oh, everybody's get overtime now. So I might not schedule something like that for 12 hours each day, but we packed in so much into those 5 days. And restoring relationships is something that we absolutely did there. Made connections. We're going to collaborate for future projects, and it's just really important. We have four interns from Wabanaki territory. They have four interns from Haudenosaunee. They're all focused on individual project related to how do we use our indigenous knowledge systems to address a current forest issue or environmental issue. So we've got one who's working on water quality, one's working on emerald ash borer and ash trees, sweet grass, and then language. So all, how language connects us to the place that we call home, and it's important to reestablish that connection to our languages, and it's just important for us to learn those. So we've really worked with Gabe Paul, making sure our interns are going to language classes every Wednesday, and they've been showing up. So it's been amazing. I just think of these eight interns who we have and how that will multiply out into future generations, that knowledge that will be shared. So it's definitely some amazing work that I get to do. And we wouldn't be able to do it without the cultural knowledge sharers from our communities coming in, devoting their time, their knowledge to these gatherings. If we didn't have them, we wouldn't have a program. So definitely rely heavily on all the knowledge sharers from Wabanaki territories to come and support those camps. So it's a hands-on exposure to natural resources challenges that we've been dealing with and affecting culturally significant resources like the ash tree. We work really close with the ash protection collaboration at at the University of Maine, APCA. They're doing some great work. We have two interns placed with them right now. I think there's going to be a major push in all of our communities to address this threat from the EAB. Part of our relationship going down to New York, we're seeing the firsthand impacts that EAB has had on their ash trees, and it's the saddest thing to see all these dead ash trees, and I just can't help reflect on that. And what does that mean to be a Wabanaki person who, our creation story we come from an ash tree, and seeing the death of those ash trees, it's really impacting me. And so we want to do what we can here to raise awareness, to create some type of ash tree nursery so we have future generations able to work with that important tree species.
Yeah, I know, like that's like the thing about like colonialism is like, it's not that we weren't the ones who brought the emerald ash borer here. Like they arrived here on shipping pallets, due to globalization. Yet we are responsible for responding to that and trying to assure that these materials are available to future generations. And it's just been really amazing to see how much that work has, that responsibility has been taken by Wabanaki communities, not in just the sense of all the research to do it, but this being a really big fundamental shift in the way that our climate is changing through these quote unquote invasive species. But the first ones to notice that were basket makers. They were Wabanaki people to notice this change on the landscape. And yeah, it's just like, again, like it had this work needs to be led by Wabanaki people in restoring these relationships to place. And I think it's great with the restoring tribal relations, restoring re forest relations. It's, our relationship with the Haudenosaunee, for both better and worse, goes back pretty deep. And you say you're working for 12 hours, but I understand like you're also sharing culture, correct? And like doing more than just sort of like actual work. Like it's really built to share.
This knowledge is so important to us, and creating the spaces where that knowledge can be shared freely and shared with the youth so they can carry on is crucial to our work. Organizing an event for 12 hours a day, making sure speakers arrive safely, making sure all the youth who want to go fishing are at the same, presentation. I needed like three of me running around last week. But ways, we're so busy and there's growth happening with us. So I'm excited that we're going to be hiring people soon to come on and help with a lot of this work. So.
And sort of thinking about relationships, Wombly, I want to kick it back over to you. I had the opportunity to come out on trail with y'all for a few days and see firsthand like the relationship that the crew has been able to develop with each other, despite the hard work that y'all do. And I'm wondering if you could just share some reflections, speak more on these relationships that y'all carry with each other and how you guys maintain it while doing strenuous labor. Like, are you like, what are you doing off trail that is like seeking to really build those strong relationships?
Having people that you like out there with you is awesome. And I'm happy to say that I do like everybody out there. We almost become like a little family, when we're, 'cause we spend so much time together, like you said, off work and at work, 'cause we work Monday through Thursday and we stay out. Usually close to where we're working. We'll either be tenting or we'll find some sort of lodging. But yeah, we all build really good relationships with each other, because we spend so much time together. I think I spend more time with them than I do my actual family. But yeah, no, we all are very similar, as far as like our interests, the way we're all oriented. Just most people have grown up hunting and fishing and stuff. So a lot of times after work, we'll go fishing. When we were working in Monroe, at Lampeace, we were fishing for stripers after work. So that's one of the things we do. We play a lot of cribbage, on days where the weather's bad or we just don't feel like going out or doing anything. We're always doing something. Having good relationships while doing strenuous labor is very much needed. If you're not feeling the people you're working with and you're doing some backbreaking work, it just makes everything more miserable sometimes. But no, everybody's awesome. Everybody has great senses of humor, so sometimes we're laughing pretty good out there.
Yeah, and this is kind of like a question for both of y'all, but kind of like how you see other non-native conservation organizations supporting the work that y'all do. I'm specifically thinking of the relationship with Acadia National Park and the Friends of Acadia. Are there ways that they sort of support the work that y'all do when you're out on, it's our homeland, but on quote unquote their land, in Acadia?
I'll share something there about Friends of Acadia. Recently the trail crew was at Acadia National Park doing some projects, and Paige Steele, who works at Friends of Acadia, connected with me, and she wanted to really support our trail crew and make sure that they have opportunities to like rejuvenate and feel good and enjoy themselves. And so Friends of Acadia offered some monetary support, purchased the boots for all of trail crew this season,
Nice.
took them out on a fishing excursion, which I think Nolan, you joined them in that. Some dinner out, some nice meals out together. It's important for them to have that connection after work hours and really just build bonds. I think that's really important. And Acadia National Park's been one of our greatest supporters and welcoming us into that space. You have Rebecca Colwell, David Schlag, Jesse Wheeler, who all work at Acadia National Park and have built close relationships with that trail crew.
Yeah, thank you, Jen. And before I want to ask you a similar question, Wombly, I do just want to remind our listeners that you are tuning in to Dawnland Signals on WERU-FM. I am co-host Nolan Altvater here with my other co-host, Nick Baer. Dawnland Signals is a monthly talk show where we hold space for critical conversations of truth, healing, and change. And today we are joined by Jennifer Gallipo and Wombly Martinez to have a conversation about the Wabanaki Youth and Science Program, known as WAYS, and their ancestral lands trail crew. WAYS is a grassroots organization that works to embed Wabanaki youth in our own ways of knowing and being through research internships, cultural camps, trail crews, and much more. Jen is the director of WAYS, and Wombly is one of the trail crew leaders. And similar, Wombly, kind of like thinking, of the relationship that you have with other trail crew or NPS staff or staff from other conservation organizations. How do you see that relationship sort of affecting your work? Or how would you describe those relationships?
The relationships that we build with our partners that we work with have all been really great relationships. When I started working, I went into the trail crew not knowing anybody. And so my first year that I worked was only with the Katahdin Monument and Acadia National Park. And so that's where I think my relationships are the strongest, is just because I've known them the longest. But we worked there with Christopher Loft up in the Katahdin Monument, fabulous person. And then we go toward the end of the season and we started working in Acadia. And all those people Jen talked about, they're all awesome people. And then it's been amazing to continue working with the trail crew to now that we go. I don't exactly know how many different organizations or partners that we work with right now, but it is definitely a lot. And so being able to build relationships with all of those people across the state of Maine has been awesome.
A good problem to have, Wambly, forgetting how many
It is a,
people you work with.
yeah, it is a great problem to have. Everybody wants us to come do some work with them, and it's sometimes it's hard to say no. We've had two crews in the past, and we've split up to hit multiple different places at once, and we're almost to that point where we need to do that again. But yeah, it's been awesome.
Nice. So I know a big part of the trail crew is this idea of connecting to our homelands through maintaining a level of care in the work that you do. Is there a place that sticks out to you that you feel particularly connected to, or like a favorite place of yours?
That is a great question. It's really hard for me to pick, I would say, a favorite place to work. But definitely towards the top of my list would be in the Katahdin Monument for me personally. I like the close proximity to the mountain and I love how remote it is. Our first year that I was working, we were staying in Big Spring Hut. In the monument, and it was the only way to get in there was this little dirt road, and it was Park Service vehicles only. And you know, we wouldn't see people out there for weeks, but I liked the forest around that part. I know one of the big places that everybody likes is Acadia National Park. You know, it's gorgeous, and a lot of people like working along the coast with DCC or MCHT. So it's kind of hard to pick.
I think you gave a great answer. Mount Katahdin's a real special place, and like you said, being in that close proximity to the mountain can't help but fall in love with that area.
For sure.
And Wanli, you said you had joined Waze in 2017?
I believe that was the year that I started my internship. Yes.
Yeah, so pretty, long, like almost your greater adult career working with Waze. And Jen, that's sort of like reminding me of a question I have for you, sort of sharing with our listeners about, this idea that Waze really being able to maintain these long-standing relationships with people like Wombly, or even myself, or like Kiana, like all these other people that I'm thinking about. And sort of like thinking like how do you like maintain those long-standing relationships, and also like what do you see people doing after their internship programs? Like, are they coming back? Are they being connected to community in some way? Like, where do you see the success in ways really coming through?
Yeah, the success in ways, the pathway to leadership is pretty well established within our organization. It's really exciting to see young people who've come through as school, after school program, camps, internships, and then, possibly positions within Waze or on the Ancestral Lands Trail crew. It's super exciting to see like Chantel Neptune DeMerchant, who was an intern, a camper, now works for Penobscot Nation Water Quality. She came out to our camp last week, did a mercury, dragonfly mercury testing with all the youth. It was profound to see that, and to see that example. Kiana Pardilla, another one, she's on our board, she's an alumni intern. Now she's leading work at Wabanaki Public Health and Wellness. She's a division leader over there. Stephen Phillips, another one, intern. Stephen, if you ever want to take a tree, like a tree walk or forest walk, go with Stephen Phillips. Stephen has so much knowledge, and if he doesn't know, he'll figure it out, and he will send you a detailed email full of all the information. And Stephen also is one who came and supported our camp last week with a tree walk. So
Cool.
he really does spend the time to give back to our programs, and I noticed that a lot with you as well, Nolan. You've been mentoring Logan Dana, who is a media specialist with our organization and works on the trail crew, and we just got him set up with a drone, so he's got his drone pilot license. We took our first flight at camp last week, and it's going to be a game changer for Waze, for videography, for surveying tree stands. It's going to be amazing. So, at the end of the day, Waze, it's really about our relationships and maintaining those relationships, showing care and love for your people. And it extends long past their internship. I get text messages all hours of the night from folks and or people who have been part of our program. So I like that they think I'm accessible and they reach out to me. And so yeah, no, it's been great. I think of right now we have six staff members. Four of our staff are alumni who came as work campers, interns, and now they're working for Waze. So there's definitely like a pathway to leadership within our organization, and Waze wouldn't be where we are at without the commitment from the young people who see the value in what we do.
Like that's just like one of the most like beautiful things to really like see in our community is this like cycle of youth going through ways and then coming back and actually like maintaining that responsibility that I feel like they find through that opportunity within ways and continuing it, you know, in the if it's working for community or tribal environmental department, or being on the board for Waze, or coming back to even intern current Waze students. It's just such a amazing thing to see over time, and I'm so excited to just like continue watching it spread out and grow.
And there were a large group of community members who supported this foundation of this organization. You got John Banks, who was a 41-year natural resource director at Penobscot Nation, and he identified the need to have somebody trained in his area so he could have somebody replace him. He wanted somebody to replace him. And so that this was the pathway that was established. And Darren Ranko, Tish Carr was involved, John Neptune, Kyle Lohler. There was many people involved with making sure that this was established, and I'm just one person in this journey who is hoping to do good and give as many opportunity to the youth as we can while I'm here.
And I know you're very humble and you are just one person, but you absolutely like have really taken ways, I feel like, to a whole nother level in your own leadership.
Thank you.
So yeah, and I think, you know, the community obviously sees that too. And yeah, and like that for like listeners who like if it isn't clear, like, you know, Waze is really creating places and space for Wabanaki youth to engage in our knowledge systems because they can't in standard classrooms. Like it really fills that need to really embed us into our own ways of knowing and being, and through our own process of knowledge mobilization, like how this knowledge is shared, like through elders or through being outdoors on our homelands. It's really like fills that void that we see in public school systems and in secondary education as well. And I'm going to try to change topics here for turning back to Wombly. Wombly, I feel like you're such a big presence in our homeland, like both like physically, but also like just, you know, I feel like you'll go anywhere and you can see Wombly, and you know, you're always like maintaining like I feel like a community responsibility despite like navigating like being a guest in our homeland. I consider you as an official Wabanaki adoptee,
For
most
sure.
definitely. But I'm wondering if you could sort of like share more with our listeners of like what you're up to when you're not on trail, like off trail, just as like, you know, in your own freedom and your own life, sort of how you maintain like your relationship to community beyond ways. Yeah, just like what are you up to when you're not on trail?
Very, very busy. yeah, I, you know, it's I appreciate how welcoming all the Wabanaki communities have been, not only to me, but my family as well. You know, my mom, she cooks for Waze a lot of times, and she vends at the community days and powwows that the different communities have. And I was born and raised in Maine, so all I've really known is the Wabanaki homelands. And I do love it here. But yeah, I on the weekends, basically I work Monday through Thursday doing trail crew, and then almost every weekend I usually travel to a powwow someplace. I do a lot of singing and dancing. I've been drumming ever since I was a little kid. I've also danced grass dance and men's traditional and the prairie chicken dance. So I'm always bouncing around at different powwows. I do a lot of canoeing too, so I'll be doing canoeing or fishing or hunting with John Neptune a lot. We're always going out and doing something. So I've been pretty flat out for the past couple of years on that schedule.
Yeah, and I feel like summertime, it really just gets busier and busier the deeper we go into the heat of the summer.
It does.
And you know, through like, how do you maintain this like level of energy that you do, you know, with that type of schedule? Just like, you know, that sounds like, I mean, I'm exhausted. Like,
Just listening to all the stuff you do. Yeah, how do you?
It's definitely a lot. But like the saying goes, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And I really do enjoy what I do for ways. So sometimes work doesn't feel like work. Obviously, sometimes it does. There's definitely days where we have grueling weather or some difficult work. But being able to hang out with the people that we have on trail crew, you know, like I said, it's a family. So going from work to powwows, it doesn't feel like it's a huge drain of energy that I deal with. So
Yeah, and like what would you say like in regards to the trail crew, like what are the hardest parts when it comes to not necessarily, I'm not just talking about like the physicality of the work that you do, but kind of like, you know, in general, sort of like the hardest part. Is it like being away from home so much or on trail? Just what are the biggest challenges you find while being out there?
that's a great question. It can be a mix of all of those. It's not one specific thing that I find super difficult about trail crew. It's the little things that'll just stack up over time. Like, you know, being away from your family for 4 days out of the week, the entire summer, or actually more than summer. We start working in April. And I think right now we're going into like mid-November-ish. So it's a long season. Sometimes people get burnt out mentally just on the work. It can be repetitive sometimes. That's why bouncing around to different places and different parts of Maine doing different kinds of work is really appreciated. So that way it just keeps your mind fresh, you know. Sometimes we'll be doing rock work for a couple weeks and then we'll switch up and, you know, maybe we're making a trail or we're building a bridge or benches or timber structures. So that helps keep like the mental just repetition of certain tasks down. But yeah, I would say just the combination of those can be difficult sometimes, but everybody helps each other work through it. So it doesn't usually seem to be that bad. Obviously, sometimes the bugs can be otherworldly.
Yeah, those bugs can be very challenging. I last season I went up to Trout Mountain or Trout Pond. It's part of the land piece that Penobscot Nation is getting back, about 30,000 acres.
Is that up near Alder? Bassett Valley?
No, it's near Where is that near Wembley?
It's just outside of the Katahdin Monument, closer to Millinocket.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Those mosquitoes can carry you away. And so I went to Katahdin General Store, and they have the biggest supply of bug nets. If you ever are looking for bug nets, go there.
Oh,
Yeah. But when I'm thinking of like what keeps Wombly going, I don't want to speak for Wombly, but I think he surrounds himself with so much medicine that gives him the energy. Like he incorporates drumming. He'll bring a drum to trail season. They've done a sweat lodge. Just being out in nature's medicine too. So I'm glad to hear Wombly loves what he's doing because I don't see a trail crew without Wombly and Jaden. They are great leaders, and they're basically on autopilot this time of year. Like this time of year, like I don't worry about them too much. We have a really good planner and organization in place, but yeah, no, it's going well so far this season.
I know, like, and this is for all my coworkers that may be tuning in, this is semi joke, but like when I was out there on Trail of the Olives, I even told Wombly, I was like, I think I'm gonna quit my job and just come out and join it all on trail crew, because it's such good medicine. Like, and that really being, I feel like, the driving force of what the like it being called like the ancestral trail crew. Like, it really is like this different approach to being in relationships of care with our homeland, and that's medicine. And like Wombly definitely being, as one of the trail crew leaders, like also bringing that medicine for that group, absolutely undeniable in seeing that. I do just want to take a moment to remind our listeners that you are tuning in to Dawnland Signals on WERU FM. I am co-host Nolan Altvater, along with co-host Nick Baer. Dawnland Signals is a monthly talk show where we hold space for critical conversations of truth, healing, and change. Today, we are joined by Jennifer Gallipo and Wombly Martinez to have a conversation about the Wabanaki Youth and Science Program, known as WAYS, and their ancestral lands trail crew. WAYS is a grassroots organization that works to embed Wabanaki youth in our own ways of knowing and being through research internships, cultural camps, trail crews, and more. Jen is the director of WAYS, and Wombly is one of the trail crew leaders. We were just talking about sort of the role or feeling that being in relationship to our homelands is really a form of medicine for people in our community. And with that, I kind of want to start looking towards the future as we approach our time here on Dawnland Signals. Jen, I'd like to start with you, thinking of any dream projects or like new projects that you might not have that you have in mind, but maybe don't have funding or capacity for. Like, what are some things that you hope to do in the future with WAYS?
So, yeah, this has been on my mind since I've stepped into this role. I feel like we need a physical location. Like we're housed right in the same building with you downstairs.
Or
We have one
gyms.
little office, but that was a big step for us to create that space. But next, I want some land. I want to have a physical base camp, place that the youth can call their own. Where communities can gather, we can do workshops, have the Ancestral Lands Trail Crew establish a trail system, medicine trail. Camps are very expensive to host at other or sites, so I'd really like to have something permanently established locally, right along the river somewhere. We need to have water access, but yeah, I think that will deepen our work. Having a physical location, I think it matters for our youth. And yeah, that's my hope for the future.
Well, too long don't read, land back. just thinking of like ways having that physical space would just be fantastic. Or even like thinking of, trying to get trying to have spaces near kind of proximity to all the Wabanaki communities. I know that's something that's always juggled is us being in what is now Maine and being kind of like really geographically far away from each other as Wabanaki communities. It's hard, I feel like, for organizations to find that balance. But yeah, no, that sounds just so exciting and really hope comes into fruition for the next sort of steps for ways.
Yeah, I think that's going to be important for us. You know, right now we have two staff members who do the in community programming, and they travel 2.5 hours to Tobias, you know, 2 hours to Madoc-Meg-Hook, and that's one way. So it's an all day activity just going out there for 1 or 2 hours. You know, we have something really cool planned for community days at Sabaic in a couple of weeks. So we'll be
Nice.
bringing youth out to a land called Penknife, which
Oh,
was set
yeah.
aside specifically for them for outdoor learning and cultural camps. And so we will be out there with a group and getting youth out on the
Yeah.
land.
Was this for community days? Okay, yeah, sweet. Because I saw that on the Passamaquoddy Community Days agenda, but I didn't realize it was with Waze. That's really exciting.
So we will we'll harvest some spruce root. That's one of the activities, and I already spoke with Brenda Moore Mitchell. We'll make sure the spruce root gets to her so she can do community workshops, which actually I think you're doing a community workshop with her. She mentioned that actually, and that was good to hear because you know you do work with
So you're
her.
saying I don't gotta go and harvest roots.
We're gonna do
The
the
book. Nice. Yeah, Wombly, I wanna ask you the similar question. Like, thinking of Trail Crew and sort of your hopes for it, whether it's like, you want a nice shiny new pickaxe or you want more Trail Crew members, like what's something that you hope to be able to do in the future as part of your work, or something that you hope to have in your work?
No, I've got tons of dreams and aspirations for Trail Crew. New tools are always appreciated and nice. I mean, we can definitely blow through tools sometimes. I think having vehicles, like having a couple pickups and maybe another trailer would be nice. And having multiple crews to be able to hit lots of different places at once would be really nice too. One of the things I've thought about since like my second year was to have like a almost like a cultural exchange, but with trail crews.
Oh.
It would be cool to go shadow a crew someplace across the country or, different places. I see a lot of the people that we work with, they'll do like some crazy work in Patagonia. And so it'd be cool to go see something
Your
like that
budget.
sometime.
Yeah, I gotta contact the insurance provider. We got insurance for that part.
Lots of funding.
No, I knew it was the truck. The Durango has been riding that Durango for a while now. We need to upgrade that for sure. And we have to make sure that they have all the tools they need. So I try to listen to the crew of what they need, and I think it makes their jobs better when that happens.
So to our listeners, if you're holding any used vehicles that could be our used vehicles or even land, please reach out.
Oh, so bashful.
Shameless plug for you, Jen. I got you.
You know, we travel a lot. We travel everywhere. And last year I was thinking of, like, you know, Holt and Banda Maliseet. We work with them on their medicine trail. We had a request last year to go out to Madoc-Meg-Hook to help with creating that pathway in a parking area for elders to access the repatriation site. So we definitely respond to community needs. Penobscot Nation, we're working with them this week. Next week, we're at Penobscot Nation. So it's important to make sure that we're supporting our tribal nations and their needs. So where I hear Wombly talking about two trail crews, yeah, it's definitely needed to do all the work because we have to say no. Like, we have to say no to some people, and it's hard. So
What's happening on the island for Penobscot?
So they're up in Carabasset, and then next week they're in Sugar Island helping with the trail system, working with the youth service corps that they have at Penobscot. So It's nice to see that they can offer that like leadership mentorship to the younger crew. So Ben Stevens is doing a lot of work with establishing trail crews for Penobscot.
And that's like the next up and coming trail crew.
Right.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, still kind of like looking ahead. We're in August and kind of Wombly, you mentioned. I hope you guys bring jackets out in November because that sounds freezing. But yeah, what do you, well, we'll start with you, Wombly. Like, what is the trail crew or what do you have planned for the rest of the year?
So we've got work with the Katahdin Monument for the rest of the month. And then I believe we are cruising down to the coast and we're working with Acadia. I'm not quite sure what projects we have with the Katahdin Monument. We kind of just bounce around and we go through like a big list that they have of projects. But I know with Acadia, we're supposed to be building a big bog walk someplace. They go by like sections, and I think the biggest one we built was about 14 sections long, which are big pieces of cedar that they cut. And so I think this one's going to be close to 20, so it'll be a pretty good sized project. But the guys' crews do that kind of stuff, so we'll be doing that. We're going back up to Holton closer to the end of the year, and then I believe we'll be finishing off our season working with Nowescook in Swanville.
Nice. What about on the Powwow Trail? Got any good travels coming up anytime soon?
Ooh, yes. I'm debating about going to Hawaii for their powwow. I don't know if I'll be able to do that this year, but they ask me every year, so maybe one of these years. But yeah, I've got powwows pretty much straight out until the start of hunting season, and then I stop going to powwows and I go hunting instead.
Sweet. And what about for ways in general? Like, yeah, what do you guys have planned for the rest of the year?
Ooh, so we have our camps that we're still planning. We have an October camp up at Nabeason. We have 23 interns right now who are doing various projects. So that alone is tough to keep up
Yeah.
with. We have four interns who are going to be going down to New Hampshire to present their capstone projects coming up. Got a big event at Acadia National Park where we're presenting to many of the great leaders at through the Park Service. We have an ash stewards gathering up in Holton. Very busy, busy few months.
What are you most excited for?
Most excited for probably the presentation for the four interns who are working hard on their forest knowledge projects. That's really exciting. And then vacation. Vacation at the end of the month in
Yeah.
awesome at the end of
Please take
August.
that time that you deserve.
I'm
Yeah.
going to a concert.
Sweet. Yeah.
Wu-Tang concert.
Salt and Pepper, TLC.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice, that's exciting. Yeah.
But then I might just fly out somewhere after, go
Yeah.
somewhere,
Disappear for a little while.
disappear.
Yeah.
I think Arizona. Arizona is a nice place to visit.
Yes. I was
Yeah.
just out there for work-related conference not too long ago, and it's something else out there. You can feel
I
it.
mean, if it's hot, it's
Oh,
probably
it's
110
gonna
degrees.
definitely gonna be something else there. Yeah, and I just wanna like sort of as we approach our closing time here, I do just want to give any space if there's anything that Nick or I missed that you want to plug, or just any place where people can find y'all online. Yeah, just hand it over to y'all for any last words.
I'll talk a little bit more about, just some of the experiences Trail Crew has experienced recently, with Donald Septoma will take some time to go share knowledge about petroglyphs. We'll have Dr. Tony Sutton come out. They're doing some clamming here. We went out with Dr. Bonnie Newsom to do an archaeological survey. They've got Smart Stream or Stream Smart training coming up, which is at Katahdin Woods and Water with Penobscot Nation. It's kind of a program to show how to do culvert design so fish can bypass and get up to the stream. So Yeah, the crew gets definitely some additional trainings and experiences that are go beyond just the trail work that they do. So, these experiences can propel them into other areas. And so the trail crew is our workforce development arm of the organization, and it's just really cool to see those get some experience and then go off and do other things. So, yeah.
Sweet. And we can find you online, right?
Wabanakiyouthandscience.org. We have an Instagram, we have a YouTube page, we have a Facebook, so and our website. And if you want to support, there's donation links on those pages.
Right on.
We'll
Where's the
get
land back link?
all right.
The used vehicle.
that's again.
I just need to get the nerve to ask for it. You
Yeah.
know, I think that's a big thing. I'm surrounded by folks who can create that opportunity. And yeah, just last week we were walking through, me and my son were walking back from sweetgrass picking, and somebody from Lambac was right there, walking right on the
Wow.
trail with us.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really important to you never know who you're gonna cross on a path.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
It will happen. It will
It will
happen, of
happen.
course. How about you, Wombly? Any last words for our listeners?
I would just say that, Waze is one of the most awesome programs that I know of. Just personally, coming up through Waze from a little Indian kid, going to camps, doing an internship, and then having a full-time position, it's a wonderful experience. And I wish more people were able to experience Waze the way I have.
Thank you, Wombly.
Yeah. Oh, well put. So I just want to thank Jen for joining us here today, and also Wombly. Thank you for filling us in a little bit about what the Waze Ancestral Trail Crew does and what Waze is all about, and all the opportunities that are being offered to Wabanaki folks, young and old. Speaking of old too, I want to give a shout out to my son Landon, who is also a part of the trail crew, and my daughter Asia, who is a part of the internship with Waze. So, I love both of you guys.
Oh, Asia's great. Landon's great. Really happy to have them part of our programs.
Very proud of both of them. So, with that being said, thank you to our listeners joining us on Dawnland Signals. Thank you to our volunteer technician, Scarlett Tudor. She couldn't join us today, but we are using your computer and your microphone. It's September 1st and every first Tuesday of the month for Dawnland Signals and more conversations of truth, healing, and change. Stay tuned for more great programming here on WERU-FM. Up chit chikanamiel.
Up judge.
Up judge.
Yeah,